Hello, Margaret here with a bit of admin before we start this very special anniversary episode. It's just amazing that we've done a whole year of episodes. I'm very proud. Usually I never finish things. Not that this is finished. Anyway, we're going to be recording our first live show at Machynlleth Comedy Festival on Sunday the 30th of April with the amazing Eleanor Morton, who you've probably seen from Twitter. She does loads of brilliant characters. So details and link are on our Substack page. I keep telling you to go to the Substack page. Please do. And follow us while you're there. It's all free and it means we can share a few extra bits. Thank you very much. Here's the show. Hello and welcome to Crushed by Margaret Caborn-Smith, a podcast about the crazes and clamouring of unrequited love. My guest today is the esteemed writer and actor. In the last 6 months alone, he's played a neurosurgeon in EastEnders and a jumped-up carpet seller in Doctors. It's Dan Tetzel.
Hello.
What, mush?
All right. Esteemed?
Well, I thought it would be funnier to then...
Yeah, undermine me.
Yeah. For listeners who might not know...
Or guests from that interaction.
I'm actually married to today's guest, which will possibly inform the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan, who do you love more than me?
Well, I mean, I think today really is just an airing of grievances, isn't it, from previous episodes. I'd like to bring up a few points that you've previously made. And I'd like to tell people what it's really like. Living with a woman who's constantly in a sexual arousal about weedy men on television.
I think a permanent state of sexual arousal is pushing it a bit.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there would be benefits to that.
Wow. All right. Before we get on to the airing of the grievances.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe we should talk about what the podcast is about. So who was your first crush?
My first crush? Well, it's hard to know. I mean, I've told you this, obviously, because, you know, we tell each other everything.
Not everything, no.
You tell me everything. I maintain a dignified silence. Very early on, I think I had a sort of, I think I was in, what's that, when a duck, you know, sees a...
Imprints.
Yeah, I was imprinted by...
A duck?
No, not by a duck. I'm not one of those furries.
Would be a terrible way to find out.
So I think I was imprinted quite early on by, I think there was a waitress at an Italian restaurant when I was a kid who was sort of Gina Lollobrigida style Italian,
wow.
Sort of very curly black hair and big lips. Sorry, I got a bit too Ronnie's there, didn't I?
Really did.
But that sort of, I think, and that was a sort of very, it wasn't a sexual memory at the time, I think. I just remember, you know, I think it's just one of those moments. Formative moments, yeah, yeah. I'm good with the words.
And has that has continued?
Yeah, well, like Cleo Rockus. I used to fancy Cleo Rockus.
She's a classic.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Early,
yeah.
Formative. So that sort of sexuality, it's a bit much, isn't it?
It's a bit, well, I mean, this is what I thought. I don't know, aren't crushes performative in a way that they're not real in that... I think there's a difference, isn't there? I mean, there's what I want to talk about, among other things. I don't really want to talk about it. I'd rather keep quiet. I'm a very private person. So, I mean, one of the things is, what's the difference between a crush and fancying someone?
Are you genuinely asking?
I'm genuinely asking so that I can carry on. I can then define some of the things we're about to move on to.
Okay.
I want to set the parameters.
I would say that the crush is very much about it not being real. Like, it's not going to happen. As soon as you start to say, I fancy them, this might be a thing. You know, I might actually make a move and with this person.
Okay.
Whereas a crush for me is something where you have made up a lot of stuff about this person.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's sort of all fantasy. But the ideal is you don't know them at all.
Okay, but for instance, like, let me just grab someone very basic off my Rolodex. Kelly Brooks, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Mm-hmm.
I have no real interest in her, but you know, she's fine. She's very attractive.
Yeah.
And I would have sex with her if that would, it was possible within the framework of a marriage. You know? But is that a crush? You think, oh, they're a good-looking person.
You're right. Well, I think this is one of those things that I've been interested in.
Men and women.
Yeah, the difference between men and women. And I'm not saying that there isn't, there obviously are people that heterosexual women just fancy, as sort of like for, and it goes no further. It's a picture in a magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a performance in a film.
Dom Littlewood.
Is that you or me? I mean,
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen.
I know what you mean. It's that's just a sexual kind of the type thing.
Yeah.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas a crush, I think, needs to be a little bit more, more than the Rolodex. It needs to be someone that you have in some way.
Created a fancy. You think, oh, we'd get on.
Yeah, you sort of picture yourself. You picture yourself doing things other than sex. So not necessarily the marriage. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to be a. And I can picture us growing old together in a rose-covered cottage, because I think that's quite a rare type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But just somehow the idea of them, it says something about you. It's rather, you know, not just the sort of boobs you like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, you told me.
I've got nothing to say. We should end that.
You told me about two dates in that if Tracy Ann Oberman ever showed you any interest, mm-hmm. you would drop me immediately.
We're naming names.
Bleep that out if you like.
No, no. Well, I think the rhythm of the syllables would be enough to give it away, wouldn't it?
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe not. So, okay, so listen.
Mm-hmm.
With those parameters then.
Yeah.
Are there people who you have, you know, you've had no interest in actually pursuing, so I'm not necessarily talking about people that you knew.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people that you, and I talk about this a lot as well, as the sort of people who make collages. I mean, I know you like to build cities out of cardboard and stuff, but you've never made a cardboard Kelly Brook, have you?
No, not, I mean, because the...
Shall we move on from that?
Yeah. Because now the image of a sort of wet lump of cardboard being thrown in the recycling bin.
God, you're the one that said interviewing men was going to be gross.
I know, and I'm trying to prove my point.
Was there anyone? So,
well, for instance, I mean, the most recent one that I can think of, like a celebrity like that, is Alison Brie, who is, you know, from Community, sort of funny and adorable and beautiful and clever and obviously fun. You know, obviously, basically, I've said before, funny. You know, this is, you know, everything, it ticks all the boxes. Dark hair, breasts, as well as being all those, you know, clever and all those things that we're supposed to be interested in. We are. But also, I realised that maybe it's my age, but also it's a weird. It's not a crush in a sort of. I think we get on. It's a sort of. Oh, I'd like to, you know, be protective and friends with them and just be an old man who knows them.
An old man nearby.
Yes.
Mentoring.
Maybe flirt with them, but nothing. You know,
yes,
it's not. I'm not going to be gross about it.
No, I get it. I think there is that sort of, it's enjoyable flirting and it's enjoyable imagining.
And
flirting.
I had that. I mean, I was, I was on Hollyoaks for, a year and a half, 15 months, whatever it was. And there are a lot of, it's full of very attractive people.
FHM top 100.
Yes. I thought you were going for a sort of, like a MILF sort of thing there. I was going, fuckable human.
Fuckable Hollyoaks.
Models.
Models.
Mimin.
I was going to say mammaries.
Mammaries. Oh, yeah.
Mammarians.
So, yeah, but on that, there were several people that, like, there was a, I'm going to name names, there were lots of very attractive people on it. Mm-hmm. But for instance, there's a woman on it called Anna Schaffer, who's I really liked, who's, I thought was, you know, a friend of mine went I was there. And it was extraordinarily beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, clever and funny and, you know, not awful. like some people were on that show.
I think I'd say like me.
No one's awful like you, Margaret. You are a special kind of awful. Is that? I'm sure the listeners would agree.
I'm aware of this.
Yeah. Particularly ones with, you know, very sensitivity to high-pitched screeching. Oh, no, she's got angry. But she was, I mean, you know, once, I mean, there was a point when she said she can't see her feet in the shower. and I nearly fell off my chair. It was a real sort of, my monocle popped out. My moustache uncurled and curled again.
Yes, but it's interesting that you say
but
that.
But then I actually felt no, I didn't feel it
desire.
In any way sexual towards
yeah.
her. Because it was just a sort of, I liked you and I'd, you know, that was it. It was no, I felt that it was an age inappropriate, but
yeah.
also just, you can, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the moustache and the monocle very much suggesting it's a comedy thing in a way sometimes.
Yeah,
a
yeah.
crush,
and I think back
particularly at our age when, you know, we are currently committed to each other and, you know, have lots of other.
Well, it's early days. It's early days.
In this podcast.
It's early.
So when you were younger.
Yes.
And you didn't have all of that, you know, you sort of were looking for a partner or even, you know, you're just sort of becoming aware of your
yeah.
body and other people's bodies and all of that.
Well, the first
were
one.
Were there people that you were, that you had those fantasies about that wasn't just.
Yeah, certainly. And there were girls that, I mean, I wasn't, you know, that alpha a male, I suppose, in my younger years. I'm not that alpha now, but I've learned to live with it. That's why I got into acting and comedy, I mm-hmm. think, is to make up for the shortfall. But I think there were certainly girls that my secondary school, you know, when it all started, there was a girl called Emma Strawn, who I was sort of made quite a big deal about fancying, like openly
really?
Fancying, and she was not interested in me.
And were you friends?
Not particularly.
No.
We were in the same class and you know, and I think she viewed me as harmless.
Yeah.
Verging on irritating, I suspect. You know, and I would sort of, you know, I bought a sort of chocolates and then one time.
What level of chocolates, can I ask?
Oh, whatever a teenager could afford at the time. Not that.
A Dairy Milk.
Yeah, maybe all gold. I
oh,
don't know.
All gold's pretty.
See the face you
good.
Love light up. See the face who finds you weird and irritating.
See the face you love tolerate the person who's given you.
Yeah.
Terry's all
gold. You see the face you love give those chocolates to her actual boyfriend. But I remember I made we would now describe as a podcast. I recorded a tape of Vox Pop interviews asking people on the street why Emma should go out with me.
I've got tears in my eyes.
And I obviously I should point out that I did all the voices. I didn't ask.
Oh, no, that's good.
Yeah. I wasn't
you
actually asking
got
real
good
people.
Answers.
No, I was asked, you know, it was all funny voices.
Can you remember any of
No.
I don't wish she could.
No, and the tape does not exist
you
anymore.
Don't
there
know
was only
that.
One.
You don't know. Your
she
mother's got a lot
it.
Of stuff.
No,
in.
It was never returned. I only have one copy.
Well, there you go. She must have liked it a bit.
Why?
She kept it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if she kept it. She certainly played it to some friends of hers who laughed at me and knew me as that bloke off the tape.
Dan.
It's all right.
What did she think?
I thought she thought...
Okay, so she was not, like, horrible about it.
No, I don't think she was very horrible. No, she wasn't. I mean, obviously, you know, it was laughable and pathetic. I think it was, obviously.
Yeah. But sort of lovely as well. Like, as long as you were harmless.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was harmless. I think so.
Yeah.
One can only hope. I mean, obviously, I was 14 or 13. You know, 14.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, she played it to her friends and not the police. So
yes.
That...
Yeah, it was at worst unfunny. It wasn't...
and that's worse than criminal.
It wasn't, yeah, descriptive in any way. I mean, you know...
Yeah.
It wasn't an oral dick pic.
But that is...
Oral dick pic.
That is incredibly confident.
Yes, but that's what I mean. I think often that was a pose, I think.
Right.
I remember that was a very there was a pattern, certainly for a lot of the girls I fancied very early on, that they had a boyfriend.
Okay.
Often, and it was just a sort of
fun
harmlessness. I think there was a sort of thing that I just, you know, that I was just a bit crazy. I don't know. I don't know what the thinking behind there was.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you call it a podcast. It is sort of, it's so creative, isn't it? It's so...
And the point, and also, I think realistically, the women are the least important part of it.
Yeah.
Which is often part of a crush anyway, isn't
I
it?
Agree.
That you are just sort of throwing... I mean, there was a girl called Melody who, you know, I worked with at W.H. Smith, and she, I was, you know, absolutely infatuated with her. But nothing ever happened.
And did she, was she aware that you were infatuated?
Oh, yes. No, I think I made it quite clear.
Yeah. What would have happened? Would you have been delighted?
I have no idea. Do you know what? I know I do at that point. I don't know.
Because presumably, because what's her face? Emma Strawn?
Emma Strawn.
Had a boyfriend. So you must have been fairly confident that it wasn't going to come to much.
Do you know what? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can remember the sort of activity, but I can't remember the emotion a lot of the time. And I was friends with Melody and my friend Ruth, who was who I, you know, I fancied as well. And we did actually end up, I think, many years later, doing something.
Making a collage together.
Making a collage together. Making our own tape. no, absolutely not. But...
You're making audio sex tapes. Really terrible idea.
You can get them from the library. I mean, this is very painful for me because, as you know, I like to not remember anything about the past.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I burn it.
Well, you're clearly not remembering any of the emotional aspects of this. Listen, I believe you that it wasn't a very emotional thing, that you weren't feeling constantly rejected or whatever.
No,
because you weren't repressing it.
It
was a sort of,
more an imagination thing, you know. And, you know, I used to think about what would happen if the world's, you know, because we were living under the shadow of the bomb, Margaret. We were living under the shadow of the bomb. You won't remember.
In the '50s.
No, in the ninth early.
In the early night. I really don't.
The late 80s.
Really
the late
don't remember
80s.
The bomb in the late
shadow
80s.
Of the bomb in the late 80s. Okay. When the wind blows.
In Horsham.
That QED.
W.H. Smith. Sure.
And I just sort of sometimes would imagine what would, you know, if the world went all a bit what we would now call the Walking Dead-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'd rescue them or
how
would we interact? You know, when we.
And you, yes, but that's a really good fantasy.
It is fantasy, but it is a fantasy. And I don't know, and because often their boyfriends are, you know, were much more alpha than me, that I don't know how it became a sort of, it's almost more like a power thing with them, really, like finding myself as a...
What, giving them the power?
No, as to sort of undermining... That actually it was about a rivalry with these type of boys.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas you can't, you know, you can't touch me because your girlfriend finds me mildly amusing.
Yeah.
Like I'm a
you're
jester,
stuck with me.
But you also know that I mean this.
I will absolutely step in.
yeah.
At any given moment. Oh, that's amazing. That's a proper...
I mean, that's possibly just admitted I'm some sort of a sociopath. But...
No, I think it's a...
I mean, I know Melody's friend, boyfriend was one of my friends. Like, was in the immediate social group of ours.
And he didn't find you threatening?
I think he found me annoying more than... Yeah.
Annoying that you were hanging around... That
that I was so openly fancying his girlfriend. Yeah. And, you know, we're friends on Facebook now. I mean, we don't really interact. But I do occasionally go, I really should apologise to him. Such a... penis.
It's weird though, isn't it? Because I do feel like it serves a purpose as well, because actually remembering that other people find your partner attractive.
Oh, if I was providing a service, I'm very happy. And ladies, I am available. I haven't got much other work. I can come around and just do you a little tape. Excuse me, sir, would you tell me why? Why should Tracy Ann Oberman go out with Dale? Oh, well, no, I think the point is that he's a very nice boy, isn't he? You know, I think they treat him well.
I really want to hear this tape.
It's gone. It's gone. The technology to play it doesn't even exist.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, actually, I'll tell you a very embarrassing story. For various reasons, we, my friends and I, were doing a 24-hour sponsored role-playing game.
Already?
Yeah, for charity.
Horrendous.
For charity, yeah. And we were around at one of their houses doing this thing, and it was quite late in the night, and some bloke had come round, some friend of a friend, you know, who's at our school.
Where were you doing this? Just in someone's
Chris's
house?
Around Chris's house.
Oh, my gosh.
His parents were very...
forgiving.
Forgiving. And this bloke came around. He was a bit, you know, he wasn't one of our... nerd gang, and I was doing a bit of dungeon mastering, so I was telling them, you know, you're running the story and he's describing things, and he went, are you that bloke from the tape? Yeah, so that was how I know that had been played out. So that was good. Still, it was all for charity.
Oh, wow. The tape.
Yeah. But I think later on, when I was at university, say, or older at sixth form college as well, you know, where I was more sexually confident, you know, I've been, you know, drama and comedy and things, you know, where you're getting a bit more swagger. That technique of being around and irritating the shit out of the boyfriend is quite good. It does work.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think it is.
Because the more they get annoyed, the more attractive you seem.
Absolutely, yeah. Either they continue to find it, they find you funny.
Exactly.
Which shows them in a pretty good light, I would say.
Yeah.
But if they get weird about it, then they immediately become the girl looks at them and goes, if you can't even handle this idiot.
maybe, I should go with Ducky.
Ducky from Prissy and Pink. But I wonder, in that film, which is, you know, classic crush material, if Ducky was
saw it until I was an adult.
No, same, weirdly, but what I mean is it's very much about huge crushes.
Weird Science, that would be my
God. Yeah, she's very Italian waitress. Ducky was too much, was going too hard, the Dan Tetzel thing, you know, to
I
the
don't
point.
Think they knew of it as that.
Sorry, the boy from the tape thing.
Yeah.
it's almost rejecting yourself too quickly, because it's not saying, oh, we're on a level, aren't we? So we can hang out and then eventually something will happen. It's like, no, I love you this hard that I'm going to be quite weird about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you ever have a secret crush on anyone? Did you ever try to conceal?
Well, I think there was... I'm going to name names. Go on. There was a girl called Jo Avery at university who I just sort of was adoring. You know, I really, really fancied. And I was just, you know, she was nice and lovely. And I just recognised there was no rotten wood, which was my sort of area of, you know, that she was, you know... very good looking, funny, and her family owned a off license. You know, they were wine merchants.
Wow.
You know, she had everything. She was like a booze heiress. sorry, Jo. I'm sure you knew. And she's, you know, she's great. And I always liked her. But, you know, these things ebb and flow, don't they?
Do you think, because I sometimes think...
And also, I think I recognise that I'd rather be her friend than not.
Yeah, and that was the choice.
Making that move is... It's
a way of
thing,
saying, yeah, absolutely. I do think sometimes, though, that the crushes, that those really big ones where you are keeping them secret and, you know, it changes because you go for someone else, you know, or you just sort of start fixing, you know, you get bored with the same sorts of thoughts and conversations. You know, I've done this fantasy over and over. How about you? You know, and you go for for someone else.
But that's, I think that's where I'm unsure where the move from
crush
fancying
to,
someone to a crush is, because, you know, I've done all right, you know, sometimes. Sort of unlikely, you know.
Lothario?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah. Openly laughing, a man that you are married to.
Well, that's why I'm laughing.
Two children. So
I really
done it
hope
twice.
You haven't been a Lothario. You seem like someone who does pursue, you know, you don't go
Certainly.
The fantastical.
But then I think also, I mean, this is talking about mentally a lot of, we met, for instance, shortly after my father had died. And I think that changed me as a person in a way that, you know, I'd had long-term relationships before that who were some, you know, great people. But there was always a timer on it, I think, just because I couldn't, I didn't feel very much. I think I was a bit dead. And I think my father being dead strips a layer away from me. And I think in the end, you know, meeting you and I think having our kids sort of saved me a little bit in that way. That I can't think of where I'd still be if I was in that pattern of chasing someone, going out for 2 years and then fucking it up.
Yeah.
Would be, yeah.
So you're saying you were in a weakened state.
I was, yeah, you caught me.
When I leapt in.
Yeah, but no, it was the right time in the right place. Edinburgh, where I was drunk. And everyone else was drunk. Actually, Edinburgh, where I'd lost my virginity, of course. So it came full circle. Not that year.
Yeah. No, we know you were a Thario.
Yeah, with from a tape. But yes, yeah, so I think that changed, obviously, and I think that would have changed how I felt about crushes as well. I think in that sort of way. But yeah, age and I've forgotten what it's like to be young. I've burnt all my mental bridges from the past, and so it's odd to think back now to these moments of fancying people. But to get back to Tracy Ann Oatman, I mean, I remember the first time I saw her at a recording of a radio show. I think it was like my guts fell out. I fancied her so much. But she's also quite intimidating.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like that around her to this day.
Yeah.
And once...
That's not going to get you anywhere.
No, and once a mutual friend of ours who's a producer said to me, she was saying to me that she quite fancied you. And I was like, really? This is extraordinary. And of course, it turned out to be a different Dan. There are lots of Dans in the industry of about my age, and almost all of them are more attractive than me. And it was that one. It was one of them.
Still nice to have that for, you know,
for a second. Yeah, I was going to think, hang on, she didn't really know who I am.
I said nothing except some high-pitched burbling.
Yeah. I mean, you know. You're out there, Trace. I would.
No, still. Listen. No, no,
no. No, I wouldn't.
No, you
I
made some vows.
Oh, yeah. Some vows.
You mumbled some.
Wow. I mean, also, crushes, I suppose, there is an interesting... I was thinking about this, and there's a... What you're describing of crushes, of living a fantasy life and seeing a different version of you, in a way.
Yes.
I often have with men more often than with women, in that I meet men who fill a gap in my personality, or maybe they're more confident or they're more alpha or they're just more fun. And I sort of, I'm really naming names here today. Like when I worked with Rufus Jones on Mongrels, rest in peace, not Rufus, the show, though he might kill himself after this. It felt a bit like I'd met a new crush. I've so sort of enjoyed being in his company and being his sidekick that I sort of felt, yeah, this is, I could be a, you know.
Yeah.
I think I've got a natural sidekick in a way, in that I just liked that moment of just discovery, of just finding someone new and finding out about them, and they're different to you, but they're exciting. And that's often, I mean, I suppose what I'm describing there is friendship. I now realise as I'm talking out about it, but when it's a sort of a rush and a one-sided thing, when you've just come back off your tour of Spike,
yes,
and you're very much, if you talked about a boy or a man like you talk about your female co-star on that, it would be
totally inappropriate.
Oh my god, this wife's having an affair.
Yeah.
And sort of lesbians are listening going, but
no, I agree. I think I absolutely, listen, not all friendships do start like that.
No.
But some do, and
I think ones in plays, particularly those sort of
really
acting
intense,
where you're suddenly very intensely finding out about someone,
yeah,
and you're also, you know,
in a heightened state,
yeah,
you're full of adrenaline,
yeah, and you have to trust them, you have to know about them. It's
yeah, and on
weird,
tour you have to live with them,
yeah,
you
know, all very weirdly.
Yeah, in
a
fact,
sexual relationship.
I texted her just the other day. I'd come in drunk and really annoyed you and woken up. And I think I kept saying
you're going to have to narrow this down, what day this was.
I kept saying to you, I'm huge and I'm going to destroy you.
Oh, yeah,
that
night. You really want to be huge.
I'm huge. I'm going to destroy you. And I ended up, I was having a text conversation with her that night, and I ended up texting and saying, if Dan dumps me, I'm going to come and live with you.
Oh, yes.
she said, do, it would be so much fun. And she has a boyfriend. It would not be, you know, we have children. It's not a great setup. It's not a perfect setup.
No.
But it was really funny that in that moment, there was a sort of the thrill of, like a pretend different life, where you're a sort of lighthearted single person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know,
yeah,
she's a lot younger than
me. Yes,
classic way. But I think it's really interesting that you're talking about men like that, because from the heterosexual female, I mean, and actually all female points of view, because we are not top of the tree, sometimes crushes are, you know. So my crush on Andy Samberg is about wanting to be Andy Samberg, and I'm not allowed to be Andy Samberg because he is a handsome, white, multi-talented man, you know, sort of at the top of his game. And sometimes I picture myself... this is so embarrassing. But
I'm just letting you talk. I mean, playing out the ropes.
Singing his songs, right?
Yeah.
Some of which I really love. And I picture myself doing it, and I think... It's just not the same. It's just not the same watching a woman in her 40s, you know.
Doing cover versions of funny songs. No.
No, but even if it was the original.
Not even at the
Edinburgh
Festival.
I mean, one of the songs that I love, I sing, I am an American man.
Yeah.
You know? But there's part of me that's like, I can't, that path, that fantasy is not available to me, and it's frustrating. I'd like to be that alpha.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a sort of element. Some crushes are like what, you know, the chalet school would describe as a pash or something, aren't they? On the upper sixth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of sort of you're aspiring to something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's aspirational. It's not the sort of, say, I want to degrade you sexually.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I
part
don't.
Of my pattern.
Yeah, for instance, that's why I don't know whether I, you know, I don't think I want to be Penelope Cruz dressed as a pirate.
Sure.
I don't think
that's
I do.
That's quite a clear.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about something very specific.
Yeah, yeah. And to be clear, I wouldn't degrade her, I don't think.
No, I know. No. I know. I felt bad saying
I think she'd
degrade.
Be degraded by my actions in the eyes of the world.
I don't know. Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts. Well,
this reminds me.
Go on.
Of a story about fancying someone.
Go on.
Having a crush. Helen Atkinson Wood.
Yes.
Off of KYTV. I'm always very fancy.
Mrs. Miggins.
Less the black-toothed Mrs. Miggins, to be honest. But again, so, you know...
God, you're so superficial.
I know, aren't I? I mean, you'd sleep with Blackadder. You wouldn't sleep with Mr. Bean.
Sure. I'm not sure I'd sleep with all of the Blackadders, but anyway.
No. I remember, you know, I was doing a radio show with Emma Kennedy, and I mentioned, she said her friend Helen Atkinson was coming along, and I said, oh my God, I used to really fancy her when she was in KYTV, and she did this, I think she briefly did a pirate show on CITV or something that I may have seen as well, where, you know, and Emma told her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course she did. And so I was just, we were in the bar afterwards, and I was just talking to someone. And then this little blonde, middle-aged woman comes sidling up to me with a sort of weird smile on her face, just starts talking to me, and Emma's looking across, smiling. I was going, this is just weirdly embarrassing. I don't
so embarrassing.
Necessarily fancy it. Helen Atkinson Wood now.
Oh no, that's worse.
Or the real person, even.
I hope you did.
I think she's lovely, and I taught her, and she's, you know, she's very charming, funny, and it was a great conversation, you know. But I did think, oh for fuck's sake, this is really awkward now. This is just.
But was there a part of you that was thinking, oh wow, my 15-year-old self would be overjoyed?
Yeah, yeah. When I was doing a recording with Richard Herring, so there was always a, you know, there was already the young me was always having a fun time. Yeah. So, but it was a moment of slow horror. And then she told a story about meeting her husband.
Yeah.
Where it said, and I looked across and there was a man there who looked exactly like Harrison Ford. And we went, oh, and that man became my husband. And I went, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. Are you mad, woman?
Well, yes. Yes, and I think that does happen sometimes. But I think that's a weird imprinting, that sometimes you can see something in someone that no one else sees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that stay, if you're lucky, that stays with you, that sort of, that thrill of, for whatever reason, in that moment,
great.
They
were
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
And that's amazing. And I think that the dream is to get to know someone and to continue knowing someone and to never lose that, like, you know, to almost sort of go, oh, and they're great in lots of other ways as well.
Yes.
But somehow there's a Harrison Ford thing going on that has stayed.
Because sometimes I think you look back, now we have the internet and you can look up anything. You go, oh, I met that girl from, there was a girl in Knights of God who I really fancied. It was a sort of children's drama about fascist Britain.
Right up your street.
Yeah, right up my street. She was very attractive. And then she was also in Call Me Mister, the Australian detective show. Anyway.
No idea.
The 80s. And I remember looking up the other day and thinking, she's all right.
Really?
Not what I remembered. You know, she's no Jennifer Ely in the bath. You know, it's...
Right.
Which hasn't lost its
presumably
power.
Presumably you were a child when you were watching those things. No.
Teenager. No, not Mysterious Cities of Gold. Let me make that very clear. None of those people.
I don't know. I don't understand any of your stupid nerd things. but having said that, I watched...
there goes half your audience.
Labyrinth, not the film, but there was a TV programme called Labyrinth that I really loved. That had I had a group of imaginary friends based on the cast of Labyrinth. I think it was called Labyrinth. But anyway, I looked them up the other day in a similar sort of vein, and I was wearing the same outfit as the main girl in it.
Yeah, I believe that.
So embarrassing.
I've seen pictures of you dressed as Linda Day from Press Gang.
Well, who wouldn't want to be Linda Day in Press Gang?
That's
the
true.
Producer's nodding.
That's true.
If you are of a different vintage from myself and my husband, watch Press Gang. It's brilliant.
It holds up.
Stephen Moffat, Julia Sawala as Linda Day.
Yeah, no one's died or been disgraced.
No cancelling at all, I don't think. Well done, all of them. Okay. Should we...
What was I talking about?
What were you talking about?
Don't remember.
Cities of Mysterious
Yeah, looking people up on the internet. No, don't worry about it.
But was she very young, the city woman?
She's older than me, but yeah, I mean, she's... You know,
no.
Should be
but
in
when
her
you
50s
looked it up
now... Yeah, she was quite young, yeah. So maybe there was a sort of...
But they're a child.
they're a child.
I remember watching Simon Pegg and Nick Frost doing a sort of our favourite telly programme, and Nick Frost talking about Vanessa Paradis.
Yes.
And they showed her on Top of the Pops.
Oh, God.
But they were both sort of going, but it's all right because Nick was the same age as her when he was watching.
Absolutely.
It because actually watching two middle-aged men perving over Vanessa Paradis now,
it's not right. No,
it's
absolutely.
No.
There was, I remember what I was going to ask. Is it time we can move on to some of the people these men I have to live with in my house?
Yeah, I mean, you make a calendar of them every
year. Can we talk about the calendars
this
year?
Yeah, let's talk about the calendars.
Every year I make, well, most years I make my wife a calendar, cheap, for Christmas. And this year we returned to the theme, I've done it before, of people Margaret fancies. It is it's been, you know, it's a crushed, it's official crushed post.
Yeah. It might as well be merch.
This year. And so who's on there? Who's on there? Do we want to talk about who's on there?
Okay.
Now, don't have to do all the months.
All right. Well, we've mentioned a couple of them already.
Yeah,
Ryan Reynolds.
Andy Samberg. Santino Fontana. Was a big one, wasn't he? We lived with him for a while.
We had a full calendar of Santino Fontana.
1 year, yeah. We heard his songs. The songs were being played on out loud, and you were learning all of his songs.
Yeah.
You were singing his songs. You were playing the videos of his songs from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend to people
who did not like them,
but you still played them to them.
I remember one of our friends saying, "This is horrible."
Like a teenager playing the records to their mum and dad. It was an extraordinary. It was a real, because it was Simon Pegg, I think, was the first one.
Yeah.
Was on the first calendar,
yes,
wasn't
it was.
There?
Yeah.
Along with Charlie from Charlie and Lola.
Yes.
Who right. You said, I think he's going to be really attractive when he grows up. Because he's so kind.
Stand
and sensible.
By it. Stand by it.
Well, he's probably about the right age right now, isn't he?
Well, no, annoyingly, that's.
If I said that about Lola,
animated.
I would be dragged away.
You're right, it would be horrible.
Yeah, because we all know she'd be a fucking nightmare.
Absolutely someone you'd have gone for.
Yeah. Who else is on the calendar?
Histrionic nightmare.
Let's think of who else is on the calendar. Hugh Laurie, of course.
Hugh Laurie.
Have we talked about...
Remains.
On this podcast, have you talked about how you... Hung around over my shoulder to see Hugh Laurie during the read-through.
I think I mentioned it to Shappy, and she was so dismissive, it was genuinely slightly hurtful.
Oh, right.
She thought that it was so pathetic.
It was pathetic, Margaret. Let's not beat around the bush. For those of you who don't know, listeners, I did a very small part in a drama with Hugh Laurie, and there was a read-through on Zoom because of the, the unpleasantness. And Margaret insisted.
Well, I mean, for the weeks leading up to it, I just kept saying, I'm going to be on that Zoom. And you'd say,
No, you're not. It's very embarrassing.
Yes, I am.
And as it turned out, we had to turn our cameras off until we said our line. So for the little pep talk at the beginning from Hugh, Margaret was perched on my shoulder. This is a drool collecting. Dripping onto my cable.
Not drool. No, because it was never
not
actually.
In his room. Oh, look at his oars on his wall.
It was exciting.
And then you took a screen grab, didn't you?
Like me.
I do like you. I just want no one else to. I just want everyone else to know the truth. What I live with. Just this Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is on television. Oh, maybe I'll watch a Ryan Reynolds film. Oh, I don't know why.
Girls got to have a hobby.
Yeah. That's
and I
true.
Don't like building cardboard cities.
No, you like coming home late from John Mulaney concerts, all giddy. I should have asked him to be on the podcast. He's not going on your podcast.
He might come on my podcast.
He'd rather go back on crack.
I'm going to build this podcast, mark my words. Until John Mulaney comes on this.
Well,
podcast.
We've already talked about Down to Fuck with MCS.
Please,
DTF with MCS.
Talk, please,
sort of just inviting people
talk.
On. You want to do what sort of things do you like on your John Mulaney? Do you like this? I'm wearing a top.
Is
do you
this
like
an
the top?
Impression of me?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Who else is on there? Can't remember. I left off someone, didn't I? Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
I don't think I've ever mentioned
my love of him.
No, he was one of the first ones I became aware of.
Aware of. Do you remember anything I...
Not I was aware of.
No.
Yeah.
Anything I said about him that was
It's just a general tone, just like the atmosphere changes in the room. Like it vibrates, you vibrate at a different level, sonically.
It's like you don't like me watching Mrs. Maisel because I get all quippy after it.
Yeah. You're like wet clay, basically.
I am just very, very influenceable. Like my mum would always know which of my friends I'd been talking to on the phone because those have a particular...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like a social zealot.
To be fair,
yeah,
you do put yourself in the calendar as well.
I am December. Yes, I'm sort of...
The reminder.
Yes, it's a memento mori, isn't it? It's sort of... it's like the slave who holds Caesar's laurel wreath, reminding that you are not a god.
They are not yours. They are not your playthings.
No, this is what you've got to come home
Here's
to.
Here's your actual husband.
This man who's running out of... You know, acceptable photos to put in.
Yeah, I mean, I do. It's lovely hearing you swear at the printer on the run-up to Christmas. There's something very moving about
it. Oh, good, yeah. I'm glad the work...
It's very appreciated. How do you assert yourself as my husband?
As my husband.
As the actual...
I don't need to, do I? It's just a sort of... I've never been a jealous person.
Which is very lucky. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have got far if...
In any relationship, I've never been that sort of... I'm massively jealous professionally. I'm a seething mass of hatred for anyone who's more successful than me. But, apart from Rufus. But I don't think... Like I was saying, that if you're jealous... Or you've got to, that's just an indication that you've got no faith or trust in anything you have. I mean, it's just an indication that you don't think it works. And for better or worse, I think we're stuck with each other. You know, that was the,
so romantic.
That's what they said in the church, wasn't it? I'm paraphrasing.
For better or worse, we're stuck with each other.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I think that's the least you can offer someone is it's just that sort of trust. It's always struck me as weird that jealousy thing, and that's why I think, as a younger, more callow man, I abused that in other people's relationships.
Yeah, it's true. It's true that there are people who just, I think, always have struggled with it and do struggle with it, and they have relationships that are not like ours.
But also, if, say, you run into Andy Samberg... And suddenly it's all hot and heavy, and he leaves his massively successful
Joanna Newsom,
singer songwriter wife for you.
Yes.
Then I can't do anything about that, can I? So it happens. It happens. It doesn't happen. There's no point worrying about you. You know, and I like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I didn't. You know, I liked. I think Santine Fanton is fun, you know.
Yeah, you have similar taste to me. And
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, Rachel Bloom, I don't, you know.
Would?
Absolutely would. As long as she was in character. I find the actual woman quite boring. She's very serious.
You're really just, like, chucking...
I'm naming names. I'm chucking truth bombs. Spitting bullets.
So when I say biggest crush, who is it?
Well, let's, for old time's sake,
go on.
Let's say Emma Strawn.
Oh. Right.
Do we now move on to the very visual part of the podcast where Margaret does some writing on a piece of paper.
V.
How's it going over there?
It's not great.
Well, that's good, isn't
it? It's 37%.
Well, I think we knew at the time. We knew at the time that it was never going to work.
But do you know what we are? Do you not know what we are off by heart? What's wrong with you? I'm going to get you a T-shirt with it on. It's 84%.
Oh.
That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
We're stuck with each other. I love you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Dan Tetzel.
Yes, thank you very much, Margaret Caborn Smith. Take my name, for fuck's sake.
Well, I can tell Emma she's had a lucky escape. Thank you very much for listening and check out the Substack. Thank you. Bye. You've been listening listening to Crushed by Margaret Caborn-Smith, hosted by Margaret Caborn-Smith and produced by Victoria Lloyd and Lindsay Fenner for Mighty Bunny Productions. If you can bear it, please like, subscribe, rate and give us a nice review, as it helps me feel better about my life choices.